I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Ramble React. My name is Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by who?
Andy Brassel.
Andrew Brassel. Brassel, I couldn't find you on my collection of internet tabs that I've got here on my computer. What I like about Amazon Night is it's not only being able to watch about six matches at the same time in different incognito windows on my computer. It's also the stats by X-ray. They make a big deal of the stats by X-ray. I just love watching the stats by X-ray.
Well, that is delightful, but I think any argument is really ended by the duo of John Champion and Ali McCoist, which is the apex of football broadcasting. It's pretty good, isn't it?
I think so. And then you see people like Martin O'Neill looking very much like a deputy headmaster. He's like inexplicably into cycling as an older man at the weekends, built his own kit car. They're just all of these vibes that kind of bring back CDT teacher turned deputy head. Stern but fair, big ring of keys on his belt. Martin O'Neill, ladies and gentlemen.
Mobile phone holster.
Mobile phone holster is in there as well. Yeah, there were so many stories from tonight's matches, but obviously we're going to kick things off with Manchester United versus Chelsea. Scott McTominay, he's having a lovely time, isn't he?
He's a weapon, and in a good way.
Yeah.
I suppose he's indicative of where United are at the moment in the fact that they're not quite where they want to be, but he's very useful in the situation they are at the moment. And we sort of mentioned what might happen on the Ramble yesterday. And I think looking at the start of this, I just felt that for the first time in a while, Erik ten Hag, admittedly, they're not the perfect team at the moment, but he picked the team he needed to pick. He picked the team that was the right team for this. And yes, that was leaving out Rashford. And it just enabled them to do what they can do best at this point in time. And I thought United were pretty good in this, to be honest. I mean, they should have been up and away before half time. They should have been two or three up. They had a ton of chances, of course. Having said that, Chelsea had their chances 2. You know, United still looked a little bit vulnerable on the break, and I think that midfield balance is still not quite right. But if you take McTominay as being not a midfielder but a second striker, which I think in United's current shape you can, then great. And I just love the way, like, for both of those goals, you know, there was all the talk as he came off from the commentary team about how Rasmus Højlund hasn't scored yet. In other situations, Højlund would have snaffled both those goals, but it was very much McTominay going, yeah, out of my way, these are mine.
I mean, the opening goal, Jackson gives the ball away on the counter, and Amrabat just has so much time and so much space to spread the ball out wide. He probably could have had a shot himself, but obviously that's really not his vibe. It was a strange performance on Chelsea, Andy.
Yeah, it was. And you just felt that they created, without being particularly great, they created enough in the first half to make you think they could build on it, especially... Mm. With the score being as it was, because obviously Cole Palmer scored that great, if slightly against the run of play, equaliser at just before half time.
Yeah,
which was sort of created out of nothing, really. But they just didn't build on it at all. I felt United were a little bit more circumspect, a little bit more organised in the second half, and Chelsea didn't really have any answer to that. Now, I suppose you have that Broya effort at the end that hits the post, so Chelsea could still get an undeserved point out of it, just like they could have got an undeserved equaliser before Palmer scored in the first half. But this is Chelsea all over. They're just unbelievably inconsistent. You think about the mood around Manchester United. And as I was saying yesterday, I was at the United's last two games, and I was at the Erik ten Hag press conference after the Newcastle defeat. And it was just so down.
Were you allowed in? Have you not been banned for future episodes of the Erik ten Hag post-match? I mean, you must be on the shit list, surely, Andy.
Well, I'm a jinx, right?
Exactly.
I think that's proved after I wasn't there. After I wasn't there tonight. Yeah, I'm never going back.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed the bit. Basically, I think it was the opening seconds of the match. A pass back straight back to Onana in the Manchester United goal. Completely under pressure, he made a really, really decent pass to the halfway line. I thought, you know what? If they're building from the back like this with that confidence, I can see Manchester United getting something out of this. They look really, really lively.
I think that's one of the issues with Onana, the fact that he's not looked their best goalkeeper for a lot of the season, but he has looked like one of their best midfielders. You know, you saw the roulette he did on, I think it was Ziyech in the Galatasaray game, and the halfway line, it's like, mate, come on. You're trying to tough out a win here. What are you doing?
I very much enjoyed, at one point, the fourth official, Tim Robinson, catching strays from the commentary team, because at one point one of the officials, I think they called it a walkie-talkie on the commentary, which makes our kind of references to the 90s sound even younger, even more millennial, apparently the linesman lost access to his communication equipment, but they kept on basically saying that Tim Robinson, the fourth official, he's not a fully qualified comms engineer. Which is just because he was helping everyone out with the with his little kind of I guess it's just kind of remote control mic pack, but then a man after my own heart and a man with a flight case full of wires turned up, opened it up and just started pulling out wires. It was brilliant. That's what I pay my £10 a month for Amazon Prime. I tell you what.
This has got to be a job for you, Petey. I can imagine you doing this.
Yeah,
you know, sorting
mate.
This out. But the way he had, like, at the same time, he had this bandage, like,
yeah,
on his arm.
Like, it was CM Punk. Like,
yeah, it was like sort of an 80s Nam film, wasn't it? Something
was.
Like that.
It was, but we probably would have expected more goals at that point. And we certainly had like an extra ball. We had multi-ball at the back end of the match. I think one of the Manchester United fans threw a ball onto the pitch late on. And one thing Manchester United didn't need was two footballs when they're winning in a football match.
Good way to eat time, Pete. I mean,
multi-ball.
Like the, Yeah, the Sevilla were great abusers back in the day of the multi-ball facility, and they were instructed, the ball boys, to like when the ball went out of play and the other team were going on the attack and you were 1-0 up or 2-1 up or whatever in the closing minutes, all throw the balls on the pitch at the same time.
Yeah, that pass, it's not bad. It's not a bad idea. That pass from Sterling into Nicholas Jackson. Now, I want to talk about that. We can talk about Manchester United not scoring their penalties, but I do think that the commentary team did give Sterling pelters where he probably didn't need pelters. They said that he released the ball too early. Nicholas Jackson possibly could have done a little bit better.
It's fair to say. I think it's also fair to say that he has not gained his Premier League wings from the most unconvincing, unimpressive Premier League hat trick of all time, all the way at Tottenham a couple of weeks ago. He's a player with a lot of potential, but to expect him to lead the line and do the business for Chelsea week after week after week, it's just not realistic, is it?
No.
I think we're seeing that. And unfortunately, they've got too many players that they've paid through the nose for who are potential above production. And that's the issue at the moment. It's like if they were an NBA team, they would be an NBA team that resembles a college basketball team. Like, you can see lots of good stuff, but you think, where are the adults in the room, you know?
I mean, obviously, at Manchester United, we keep talking about their league position sort of flattering them a little bit. Can they kick on and get something out of the next few fixtures? I'm just looking at what they've got on the way. They've got Bournemouth at the weekend, then an unlovable fixture in the Champions League on Tuesday, has to be said, and then back to the Premier League and Liverpool next weekend. So, yeah.
Easy peasy.
It's a bit easy peasy. Easy lemon peasy. Squeeze, isn't it? Yeah, you'd be making the most of that Bournemouth fixture, let's say, wouldn't you?
They've started to find some form now as well. So
yeah, I know. Terrible time to play them. Yeah, here I was ready to sort of go, Manchester United might kick on, and nope, now their fixtures are absolutely grotesque. They're playing Aston Villa 26th of December, honestly. Elsewhere in tonight's fixtures, I mean, there were some incredible scores in the Barclays, classic Barclays. Fulham 5, Nottingham Forest 0. Andy, I have to throw that one in there. We're not, you know, going to talk at length at this one. But did you see that the chairman, Evangelos Marinakis, his security pass for this match was found jammed in a hedge after the match? So he just found he left early. He's got full access, all areas access, and his pass was jammed in a hedge on the way out of Fulham. So the Forest. the Forest owner not happy with the situation. However, his security picture is showing it.
What is it about getting hammered at Fulham that makes people lose their minds? Do you remember Adel Tarapt like leaving before the end of the game and getting the bus home with some of the fans while the game was still going on? It was funny actually. I saw some videos from the Forest away end. With this long serenade for Steve Cooper, who Forest fans expect will be fired off the back of this. I mean, they have less plateaued, more flatlined, really. I suppose in recent weeks after quite a promising start.
Well, as soon as people started saying that Cooper's really got them firing as well as you would imagine, Nottingham Forest side could, and yeah, it's not been great tonight, has it?
No, but for a night in early December, when it's really windy and cold at the cottage, who better to occupy one of the seats than a man as hairy as Marcus Speller? And he will have enjoyed it as well.
He will have enjoyed it as well. I think me, you, and Marcus are going to see the Charlatans tomorrow night. So
we are,
So we're so we'll have to we'll just have a lovely time, won't we? We'll have to drink to the fortunes of that particular football team. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we will be back with an astonishing match at Villa Park. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 0.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's not take the piss here.
I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are.
We're back. Me, Andy. It's a Ramble React. I've got about 15 different documents open. None of them have the right notes. I'm absolutely winging it. I'm Roy Hodgsoning it, for crying out loud, Andy Brassel. So Selhurst Park was rocking tonight at the full-time whistle of Crystal Palace's 2-0 defeat to Bournemouth at Selhurst Park. Roy Hodgson in the post-match basically said that the fans have been spoiled here in recent times. I mean, strong chat on the night of a rail strike. It really is, isn't it?
How
that
typically
ringing in your ears as you're getting a 50 quid taxi home. Unbelievable.
How typically immodest of Roy Hodgson, I think Scandinavians would say. We have a very particular idea of gentleman Roy over here.
Yeah.
Some Swedes and Swiss have slightly different views,
different ideas
on him. And I think, you know, the stuff with the lap of honour in front of the Palace fans when he was at Watford, all that sort of stuff, that comes as no surprise to some of them. And I do think, when you speak to Palace fans, and when he went the first time, I mean, they were grateful for his work, but they were really quite glad to see the back of him. And I think for some Palace fans that he's sort of he's gone back there and they've retreated into their Hodgsonness is not particularly great for them, even though admittedly they had a brilliant run in under him and they played some great football and Eze and Elise looked absolutely great. Of course, they've been without Elise for most of the season, which has been an issue. But I do think on the other hand, it's fine for us to sit there and go, oh, well, he keeps Palace up. But the reality is, those people who pay hundreds of pounds for a Palace season ticket every season, who have suffered quite a lot of boring football, if you saw that, you would want to, well, you'd want to jam your season ticket and boy's head into a hedge.
He'd love it. He's a fucking owl, Andy, for crying out loud. It's very much where he would find his best mice, one would imagine. Well, on to the main event, I think, of the evening. We've waited this long to get into this one. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 0. It wasn't just the scoreline. It wasn't just Bailey's goal on the 74th minute. It was the way that Aston Villa played and the way that Manchester City didn't, Andy. It was great, wasn't it?
Holy shit balls. They were amazing. And when you think that Unai Emery never beats Pep Guardiola, well, he's never beaten him before no. this game. It's an absolutely remarkable record. And that Villa didn't just beat them with an classic Emery defensive plan, but they just totally outplayed them on every level. I know the winner was a deflection, but you know, no one could say they didn't deserve it. And they rode it out really, really well. I can't remember anyone neutering City like that. It's good for the league, and it just makes it really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, McGinn was doing chopsticks at one point. He was absolutely rinsing the Man City back line. And he had such a lovely chance as well, and he just faded it wide at the last minute. Tried to call for a corner. It wasn't a corner, John McGinn, for crying out loud, but he was so good this tonight. He was so good.
When you said chopsticks, I was thinking of the thing that everyone learns how to play on the piano first.
Why is that called chopsticks? Because the first time I ever heard that was I used to really like this animator called Eric Schwartz on the Amiga. He used to do little animations of like little sort of squirrels, sort of sexy squirrels walking around, and I used to love these animations. And then I later found out that this guy was really into his late 90s, early noughties. Kind of like furries, like sexy animations and stuff. I was an unwitting furry because I like the guys Don Bluth style animation, for crying out loud. That's the first time I ever heard that chopstick song. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
have you got views on the Cadbury's Caramel Bunny or no?
Effable, eminently effable. Let's move on. Aston Villa 1, Manchester City 0. Villa had 13 shots on the City goal in the first half, the most a Pep Guardiola side has ever faced, excluding Barcelona B. Does his record at Barca B even count, Andy? You're a man who loves a bit of European football. He disbanded the C team, brought in some old lads, artificial pitches. Is it even football, Andy? Is it even football?
I'm not sure it counts for the basis of these statistics. It just seems like a way of just accentuating it. You know when people run out of like adjectives to describe Leo Messi or whatever? It sounds like one of those things. I think we can just dwell on the fact that Villa are serious. They're really serious. I still think it's hard for them to make the top four. But I think them, a bit like with everyone really around Manchester City, it's just about squirreling away as many points as you possibly can.
Did you say squirrel, Andy? Sorry, mate. Getting hot in here.
You put it in my mind.
Oh, dear me.
But I think that's what it's all about. To look at the table and see City in fourth, as well as Liverpool winning, Arsenal getting that late winner this week and getting it done, which, sorry, Luton, it is good for the league if you're looking at the league title.
Yeah, the big picture. Look at the big picture, Luton, for crying out loud, in your little stadium.
You've done us a solid there. You've done us a solid. Thank you very much. It's been a really good week.
I mean, you watch a football match in which City only managed to bring on two shots for crying out loud. But it didn't feel like a kind of, when Newcastle beat Man City, it was all about, you know, press and just kind of working hard and just hoping that Man City had an off day. It wasn't just about the press. They were so assured. They had Manchester City kind of camped out in their box. And it was blooming great. Haaland versus versus Carlos, like both players just never went down. It was like putting like a breeze block in like a washing machine and a dryer next to it and just watching them kind of like knock into each other at one point. And you kept thinking like Haaland's gonna go over. He never did. And so it was such a cool battle. I very much enjoyed that one.
It was brilliant, Pete. It was really compelling. And I think when you look at Diego Carlos, the fact that he arrived in the Premier League, they probably bought him a year or two too late, to be perfectly honest, with the sort of player he is and the sort of physique he is. And then he gets injured. He gets a serious injury, like 3 or 4 matches in. And you think, okay. And the way he has come back from that, I think, is amazing. And to cap it with a performance like this, super impressive as well. Look, Villa are just a great watch. There's no two ways about it. I mean, you mentioned in Newcastle there. I really wish you hadn't, because as I was watching, like you, a multitude of screens, I had a United-Chelsea on, Villa City, and also I relegated them to the phone in the end. Marseille versus Lyon, where Lyon gave a performance that was very like a Mike Ashley Newcastle performance.
Okay, right, yeah.
It was like, you know, I was just thinking, how would I sum this up? And I was thinking, well, tactics are fucking terrible, players are fucking terrible. They've got to go. President's got to go.
Back on, is it? whatever is French for bacon, I do not know. I mean, to the casual observer, I mean, there's only one question on everyone's lips: does Andy have an unmetered broadband connection? Yes, he does. Yes, he does, ladies. Yes, he could be streaming furry porn from noon until night, for crying out loud. But I mean,
with that in mind, are we done yet?
Coffee, sorry. Show me your hands. Show me your hands. Are Aston Villa in the mix for the title? It's just a simple yes or no, and I'm imagining you're going to say no, but we're having a bloody lovely time seeing them head to the top of the table.
We are having a bloody lovely time. Mm. I am going to say no. I think it's quite interesting how Manchester City and Arsenal are trading fixtures this week. Mm. And yeah, along may we enjoy Villa. It's just brilliant just to see another team get in there. And Emery coaching in a way that goes against the cliche of him as a purely defensive coach. You know, the players are clearly really enjoying playing under him. They're brilliant to watch. You look at a player like Leon Bailey, who I thought they vastly overpaid for him when he came over, to be honest, because he was relentlessly inconsistent at Leverkusen, and he's turning into a consistent performer. It's just, you know, that's authentic coaching, making players better, making players the best version of themselves. I mean, I'm sorry to put an end to all this fun, but I'm just looking over at Amazon, and on the pitch at Old Trafford, they're interviewing Jeremy Clarkson. And the week had gone so well as well.
Shut it down. Just close it down. Push him in a hedge. I don't care anymore.
Turn them floodlights off.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what happens in the London derby tomorrow, Spurs versus West Ham, if Spurs manage to beat West Ham by, I think, 11 goals, Man City are in the Europa League spots. It's all over for them.
I think you streaming this on your phone tomorrow night is going to be fun at the Charlatans. Is all I
know,
I
right?
Say.
I mean, I will say the Charlatans are going on stage at 8:30. If that's not like a nod to the fact that a lot of the fans have kids and they've got to get home, I mean, good God. That gig used to be on at 10 o'clock. Unbelievable. I mean, Andy, Pep Guardiola is quite sanguine. He reckons they're still going to win the league. Is this in jeopardy right now?
I wouldn't go as far as to say it's in jeopardy right now, but they are having a poor run.
Strife. I mean, is it in strife? Is it in trouble?
I suppose
is the ship taking on water, Andy? That's what I need. I need a metaphor. Are we in a controlled skid? Are we going? Are we aquaplaning, Andy? For crying out loud!
Does he need speedboat repairs for Christmas?
Does he need speedboat repairs for crying out loud?
That is the question. I think it's a far from ideal situation, and given how well they've played in various isolated moments of this season, is really, really surprising what's happening to City at the moment. I don't know if it's like a little bit too easy for them. But A, it's great because there's genuine competition. And B, it just, I guess it goes to show how difficult it is to do it again and again and again. Like, they've done it five out of six. You know, I think there's enough good competition that they're really going to have to motor to get it done this season.
Yeah, maybe they should get their bums out more, like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who took a corner while, I mean, just showing his entire bum and anus. What's going on there?
It reminded me of you climbing up and fixing the studio, really, Pete.
Yeah, I'm always doing that. It was
that kind of business. I mean, if the bum shows anything, it shows hard graft, doesn't it? That's what it says. It says hard graft is going on here.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know, like, what it's... I mean, the pants are kind of at the middle of the crack. I mean, it's just confusing, really. I mean, and as you open your legs to swing the ball in, it's just going to get worse, isn't it? It's just going to get worse and worse. But, you know, that's what you pay your money for crying out loud. All right, then. We'll be back very, very soon. Indeed, you got OTC tomorrow, I do believe, Andy?
Yes, we do. Me, Dotton, and Jonathan Johnson.
Oh, JJ. I've got a Johnny Johnson over the road from me. He's not him, is it? It's not Johnny Johnson from over the road, is it?
I'm in his Essex. You're going to have a Johnny Johnson over the road, aren't
you?
Yeah,
he looks like Mike Ashley. It's brilliant. Anyway, thank you for listening to today's Ramble Reacts. The Ramblers back on Friday with the preview show and then the mailbag on Saturday. And as we mentioned, do listen to OTC over on the OTC feed. Email us at showatfootballramble.com ahead of the mailbag and also the Ramble on Friday. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on TikTok, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on YouTube. Getting our bums out at football. Ball Ramble. Remember to do subscribe on your podcast app, give us 5 stars and all that good stuff. Andy Brassel, thank you for joining me. Thank you for doing all the work.
Thank you.
As always, we'll see you soon. Amrabat had just an embarrassment of space and time to basically do what he wanted in front of the back four for Chelsea. Sorry, Andy, I'm just going to get up a fucking dog.
I thought, is that a squeaky door or a dog yelp?
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.